May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It is said that we really can't hear the stories of the Bible and what they are saying to us until we hear them as stories about ourselves. We have to imagine our way into the story. We have to imagine ourselves as the characters in the story to begin to understand the great truth they hold. At the earlier service today, our children in their pageant imagined the characters of the nativity story as themselves. It was beautiful to watch the pure joy of the angels on the faces of those children, the excitement and surprise of the shepherds, and one of them even cried on the way to the manger because he was frightened. Maybe he didn't hear the angel saying, "Do not fear." The awe and reverence of the wise men from the east and the close attention given by even the animals. Children, through their pageant, told us once again the timeless story of Jesus' birth. Children, with their fresh eyes and the innocence of their young age, understand and appreciate the birth of Jesus more than we adults. How does this story of the birth of Jesus, which we have heard umpteen times, strike a chord on our heartstrings? Isn't it in how we see it? Do we see and hear the story with the innocence of our hearts, or do we do it with the cynicism and reasoning of our heads and cast them aside as myth? Story of incarnation, we came here this evening to hear and celebrate and be engaged by, is the story of God becoming a human being and dwelling among us. Christmas is the story of the timeless one, the eternal God, entering into a world limited in time and space. It's the story of Creator God becoming a created being. It is a story of God letting go of power and authority, becoming a vulnerable and dependent baby. It's a story of God accompanying human beings in our pilgrimage on earth. It is the story of God's solidarity with us in our human condition, both its joys and its sufferings. It's a story of God emptying God's self to redeem God's creation from the path of destruction and self-annihilation. Perhaps no other story, no other parable explained incarnation better than this one told by Søren Kierkegaard, a Danish theologian. Once upon a time, there was a king whose power and preeminence was known throughout the world. Yet something was missing in his life: a woman to join him as his wife and queen. One day, as he was riding through the countryside, he saw a beautiful peasant girl. She was so lovely that she immediately won the king's heart. And he desired her more than anything else in the world. Every day he would ride by her house, hoping for a chance to get a glimpse of her in passing. He pondered how he might win her love. He thought since he was the king, he could just issue a decree and require her to be brought before him, and he could just make her a queen of the land. However, upon further reflection, he realized that since she was a subject, she had to obey him, but never could be certain that he would win her love. Then he said to himself, how about if he won her affection by overwhelming her with his wealth and power? But then again, he would always wonder whether she married him for his power and wealth and not because she truly loved him. So he had another plan. He decided that he would shed his royal robes, dress as a peasant, and go in her village and become one of the peasants. He would work with them, live with them, and suffer along with their daily toils. This entering into the very life of the village brought about the result that he desired. He was truly admired by his love, won her as his wife, and made her the queen of the land. So no divine intervention other than incarnation, God becoming one of us, would have achieved God's purpose of truly winning our love. Still, it is not a home run. Incarnation to be successful requires a certain amount of human response and human participation. This is where you see God helpless and vulnerable. To begin with, for God to be born among us in human history, God needed the help of a teenage peasant girl, Mary. After getting her permission, God had to convince Joseph not only to prevent him from throwing her out, according to the custom of the land, but also to take care of Mary and to raise this godchild as his own. Friends, we gather here this holy night to remember, to adore Jesus, the Messiah, like we did so many times before. However, for this Christmas to be any different from the many Christmases before, what must we do? How can the message of Christmas make a difference in the world this time around? As we gather here this night, we see many things same as before. We see same decorations, same crush scene, same lighting, same hymns, same readings as of the Christmases of yesteryears. And outside the wall of the church, we have a world with enduring challenges and problems. We have a world cynical and cruel as ever. The only thing that is new or has the potential to be new and different in our meeting up again with Jesus this evening is in our response of our own hearts. The gift of a new heart. How do we return home this evening? Same as before, we came here untouched, unchallenged, neutral, not wanting to take a stand, kind of wishy-washy. Or like the shepherds, and the wise men in a new way, with a new determination, with a new way of seeing holiness, a new way of responding to the world in crisis. What does God becoming human mean to us? Mean to each one of us? How does Jesus in the manger matter for us? What does our God, born in the lowliness of estates, say to us? Friends, we mean a lot to our God. We mean a lot to our God. God is full of love, and God loves us, so much so that God becomes one of us. Not just any one of us. God became the least among us, poor, powerless, displaced, homeless, on the run, seeking asylum as a refugee. You know, if Jesus were to be born in our country today, where would that be? It could very well be in our cold blue homeless shelter. It could very well be to an undocumented young migrant girl keeping herself away from the ICE agents and living in one of the sanctuary cities in our country. It could very well be to a minor in a detention center where minors from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras are rounded up and kept inside locked doors. We who came here this evening to get a glimpse of the baby Jesus, the God incarnate, cannot go back to our homes, our communities, our places of work, our colleges, our schools, and live as if nothing had happened and nothing had changed. Tonight is an answer to God's prayer. We are an answer to God's prayer. We are God's messengers to bring the tidings of Christmas, justice, peace, goodwill here in Phoenixville, in our neighborhoods, as well as faraway places like Appalachia, or even farther away places like El Salvador or India. What our world is going to know about Jesus will be through us and because of us. St. Teresa of Avila spoke about this very thing. She said, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion is to look out to the world. Yours are the feet with which Christ is to go about doing good. Yours are the hands with which Christ is to bless all people now." Yes, we are the body of Christ. In few minutes, as we will be partaking the body of Christ at the Holy Communion, we will once again affirm, as Augustine of Hippo said, "Behold what you are, the body of Christ." May we become what we receive, the body of Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us acknowledge that we are God's gifts, the answer to God's prayer, to bring Jesus' good news of justice and peace into this broken world of ours.